Hi, everyone. As Tristan said, my name is Colleen Barbero. I'm with Washington University in St. Louis, and today I'll be talking about a project we've undertaken with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention Division for Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention to look at heart disease and stroke prevention policies. And a couple of our project team members are also here today, Siobhan Gilchrist and Amy Eiler as well. I have no relationships to disclose. So I'll start by talking a little bit about the background for the project. As you saw from the title, I'm going to be talking about the development of an evidence quality assessment tool. So a little background, policy has the potential to significantly impact public health. However, there is a considerable gap between what research shows is effective and what is actually put into practice. Additionally, there is an immediate need to assess the evidence for emerging policies that have the potential to improve public health. Windows for policy change can be short, and decision makers often have to act in the absence of good evidence. Therefore, there is a need to develop an expedited review process for assessing the evidence for enacted and proposed public health policy. So the CDC Division for Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention, as I mentioned, is developing tools to assess the extent to which states have enacted evidence-based chronic disease prevention policies. Two tools have been designed to assess evidence. The Evidence Quality Assessment Tool, which I mentioned, rates the quality of an evidence base related to a policy strategy. The Evidence Basis for Public Health Impact Assessment Tool, which is still in the piloting stage, rates the evidence on the public health impact of a policy strategy. Both of these tools will be used to identify what elements of existing state policies are evidence-based. The final product will be a policy rating system, which will rate the comprehensiveness and strength of state laws. So today I'll be presenting on the development of the Evidence Quality Assessment Tool. Just a presentation outline, I will first summarize the literature on evidence hierarchies for policy. I'll then present four criteria of evidence quality and how they are measured in the tool. And next, I'll discuss a process for identifying evidence and present the results of pilot testing the tool. Finally, I'll outline next steps for the project. So one way to assess evidence quality involves ranking different types of evidence in an evidence hierarchy, such as the example shown on this slide. An evidence hierarchy includes the highest quality evidence on top, and evidence is considered of diminishing quality as it moves down levels of the hierarchy. Evidence hierarchies, such as this one, originated in evidence-based medicine, but are increasingly being used to assess the evidence for public health practice and policy. One criticism of applying traditional evidence hierarchies to the evidence for policy is that such hierarchies overvalue study design and exclude other important criteria. Some hierarchies have been adapted to be more appropriate for assessing policy evidence. For example, assessing the impact of an enacted policy is essentially a natural experiment, one that limits the researcher's control over study conditions. Therefore, some policy evidence hierarchies now include the quasi-experimental design. While such modification has improved traditional hierarchies, using study design alone is problematic because rigorous evidence is often not available and because there are other criteria to consider in addition to evidence or to assess evidence quality. So to summarize, according to the literature, we need a systematic but expedited process for reviewing evidence, one that includes criteria in addition to study design. The first step in developing our evidence quality assessment tool involved answering the question of what criteria should be used to assess evidence quality. Our project team decided on four: study design, source, practice and theory basis, and research basis. Study design looks at the level of scientific rigor with the strategy has been assessed. Source looks at the credibility of those who have assessed the strategy. Practice and theory basis looks at how much evidence there is from practice and the development of theory. Research basis looks at how much evidence there is from research activities. Other important criteria for assessing evidence include effectiveness, equity, return on investment, and transferability. These criteria are included in the evidence basis for public health impact assessment tool that I mentioned earlier, which is still being developed. The study design was chosen as the first criterion of evidence quality because strong study designs establish internal validity, and high internal validity helps researchers suggest what causes outcomes of interest. So even though traditional hierarchies over-rely on study design, it's still an important thing to consider. Studies with high internal validity can help also to establish external validity and generalizability, which answers the question of how well findings can be expected to hold up for other populations or in other settings. This is important because, as you know, what works in one setting or for one population might not work as well in another setting or for another population. So this slide shows how study designs are ranked in the tool, and you can see that systematic reviews that combine the results of many studies are the most valued. Qualitative studies, which are often missing from traditional hierarchies, are also included on this scale. Non-empirical evidence, which includes editorials, commentaries, and position statements, is included on the lowest level. Non-empirical evidence can be thought of as the opinions of experts and stakeholders and is often missing from traditional evidence reviews. So source of the evidence was selected as the next criterion because reputation of source can be used during decision-making as a proxy for evidence quality. There are some specific sources that are well known in the field of public health for providing credible evidence, as you know. For example, this slide shows a recommendation from the CDC Community Guide regarding team-based care to improve blood pressure control. So sources can serve as a proxy, or in this example, add value when source and study design are mutually exclusive. Are not mutually exclusive. So on this next slide, this shows how the sources are ranked in the tool. Highly credible sources of evidence are ranked the highest, and an important feature of the scale is that journals that require financial disclosure are ranked higher than those that do not. Another criterion of a high-quality evidence base, as I mentioned, is that it establishes a practice and theory basis for a policy strategy. Practice-based evidence returns field-based data to those involved in effectiveness and implementation studies. Evidence from real-world settings can be used to assess the external validity of an intervention. Evidence that derives from practice is increasingly being used to assess public health interventions. Additionally, evidence that derives from theory can be used to predict the quality of an intervention. So the tool also assesses the quantity of practice and theory-based evidence. Practice and theory-based evidence in the tool is defined as evidence that is not data-based, like commentaries and editorials. And it also includes evidence that is intended for a specific purpose, such as technical and evaluation reports. The tool values practice and theory-based evidence that assesses public policy more than evidence for practices and programs because it is possible that a strategy works well in practice or as a program, but not when implemented as a public policy. And as you recall, we're ultimately using these tools to review the evidence for policy. Unfortunately, as you also probably know, a lot of policies are not yet formally evaluated or research tested, but evidence from practices and programs can be very useful in assessing the evidence basis for those policies. The last criterion of a high-quality evidence base is that it establishes a research basis for a policy strategy. Research-based evidence is defined as data-based and having the intention to produce generalizable knowledge. The CDC defines generalizable knowledge as new information that has relevance beyond the population or program from which it was collected. For example, an evaluation report of a program to screen for high blood pressure would not necessarily be generalizable to other settings. However, if the report was written up as a journal article that assessed the findings' implications beyond the settings and populations studied, it would then have the intent to contribute generalizable knowledge. Again, in this section, evidence that assesses public policy is more valued than evidence for practices and programs. After our tool was developed, the piloting phase began, and we held three pilots on different policy strategies. We selected three different policy strategies to reflect varying levels of evidence quality. And this slide shows the types of evidence that were identified for each of the policy strategies for the assessment. The inclusion of practice-based evidence resulted in a more comprehensive evidence base than would have resulted from a more traditional search strategy, which might have only retrieved journal articles. So the primary goal of the pilots was to test and improve the tool's usability. Inter-rater reliability for pilots 2 and 3 was assessed by calculating percent agreement on the four domains across the raters, and an evidence quality score was calculated for each policy strategy by taking the average of the rater scores. This slide shows information about the pilots and the results. Pilots 2 and 3 used the same tool and the same policy strategy of smoke-free workplaces, but different raters were selected to represent different types of potential users. Average percent agreement for the scores from the second and third pilot was 89%. Across the pilots, the smoke-free workplace strategy scored the highest, and the accountable care organization strategy scored the lowest. But note that the tool was substantially changed between pilots 1 and 2, so the strategies from pilot 1 will need to be re-rated. So this slide shows the next steps for our project. The very next step is to finalize our tools and use them to review the evidence for a variety of heart disease and stroke prevention policy strategies. And the results from this review will inform the development of our policy rating system. It is also planned that the tools will be disseminated for educational purposes. Practitioners may be interested in using the concepts from the tool to make a preliminary assessment about the level of evidence for different public health strategies. And this can help them identify what the evidence is for a strategy while also taking into account contextual factors related to their own situation and being able to look at these two different results together and plan for policy development. And this will also help them identify areas where more research is needed. The evidence quality assessment tool and an accompanying manuscript are going to be submitted to a journal with a practitioner audience. Presentations and manuscripts on the other project products are planned as well. And that's all for my presentation. If you want to ask questions at the end of the session, or you can also contact me at the information on this slide. Thank you.